Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to pinch hit for Kelly this morning. I'm sure she's had a big week at Bible school. I know it was a wonderful week for all the children. I'm seeing all the blankets down here on the front pew, so I know there will be lots of little children who will be kept warm by a special blanket. like to welcome each one of you to Jenkins Church this morning, Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Melanie went to General Assembly this past week in Birmingham, and there's not a lot of CPs around in the world, but when they get together, I think they're a really strong group from what Melanie says. And I know in working in my workplace, CPs stick together. When you find out there's another friend that's a CP, it's a special bond. Announcements this morning. Do we have any announcements that is not in our bulletin? Anything anyone needs to say?
Yes. I would just like to say that our senior principal is General Simpson from the Greater Child Technically, and that expresses the feeling of the three job nominations, the CBUSA and the CPA, and the Presbyterian Years, and our technology nomination, CP Daddy, in Birmingham. It was wonderful to be with the others. It was wonderful to be part of a large gathering of the CP nomination. It affirms in my heart and my mind that we are a spirit church, that we are a mission church, and that we are a friend church. So it's like a larger example of Jenkins Church, I think, so that's very affirming, that we're all part of the same body. I think the decisions that were made, the discussions that were presented, I just was impressed with the patience, the intelligence, and debate, and compromise were needed, that there was never a compromise.
Welcome. I was just going to ask, do we have any visitors here today? So that was a good intro. Do we have any other visitors with us today?
No first timers. I think everybody's been here before.
Everybody's been here before. Okay. All right. Have the pew.
Richie Hart is with us from Mount Pleasant, but he's been here before.
Okay. Have the attendance register's been passed out. Everyone registered their attendance this morning. Okay, let's move on to our prayer and praise request. If there's pew, there's sometimes little cards in the pew racks that if you would write that person's name on the card and put it in the collection plate, then we can get that written in our bulletin. Do we have any prayer requests or praise requests this morning, Mike?
I'd like to ask everyone to pray for my aunt, Alan Harvey. I believe you spell her name Alan Harvey. Maybe some folks think you're not supposed to have favorites in this life, but mine and Alan are one of my favorites. She's 3 years old. Mother of five children, and mother of wife, and mom of dope. And she's been suffering from cancer now for about 2.5 years. Suffered a heart attack Friday. And she lived to July 17th, she'll be 84 years old. But she died. She decided to take her own. I know where she will be. But I would ask you, please pray for my Aunt Ellen and her family, that her daughters are really doing a good job trying to take care of she and mom. So who also has Alzheimer's. So they have a double portion to take care of. Please pray for them.
The Wayne prophet is Pauline Campbell's brother. He was so sick last week and week before last. He went home to his earthly home, not his heavenly home yet, and doing well. And it's one of those surprises, I believe. So we rejoice with Pauline on that. Also, on the last column, Mary Bryan, sister of Vivian Reed, she even sent a message late Friday concerning her that we remember to pray for Mary Bryan, Vivian's sister, bone cancer. And those are two that I would call to your attention. People, Junior Camp meets this week. Somebody said earlier that there were 120 children registered, and that's max for the Camp Crystal Springs. And just pray for the workers and those kids, that the workers will be good to the kids. They won't get too frustrated. But they'll have plenty of food, plenty of beds to sleep on. They always run out and buy them if they need them. And that'll be some week at Crystal Springs with that many campers. So be sure to lift that one up. And I'll stop right there.
Well, that is a lot of children for Crystal Springs. Do we have others?
The third name down on the right, last hand column, Molly Tyler. She was scheduled for right surgery on Friday. They postponed that until tomorrow. They're not giving her a very good prognosis. So if you would mind, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, lifting her up. She's probably some people from Tuscaloosa, Ruth and Jean. That's Carolyn Bradbury's daughter-in-law, Wayne Tyler's wife. So if you wouldn't mind lifting her up, I'd love to see the doctor prove it wrong in this case. Got sample probably remembers them too. So that's about 40 years old. That little girl is about 10 years old, her own child. So if you lift this young mother up, I'd appreciate it.
Is there anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? We pause for a moment of silent prayer and let's prepare our hearts for our worship with God today. Amen. And we welcome Jesus, the light of the world.
Fill your life.
Our call to worship this morning is from Micah 6:6-8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 87. Notice that we will sing 1, 3, 4, and 6. 1, 3, 4, and 6, the ones that are marked in your hymnal.
When morning gilds the sky, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. A life and word and prayer, to Jesus I repent. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night being of the day, when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear, when sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. Ye nations of mankind, in this your God confide, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around be joyous with the sound. May Jesus Christ be praised.
And the last verse. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning to offer praise to Jesus and offer thanksgiving and praise to you for sending Jesus. And Lord, we know that Jesus was you coming in bodily form, fully God, fully revealing you while he lived on earth, fully human. Thank you, Lord, for the presence, your presence in our midst. Lord, to show us what you are like. Lord, to show us what life should be like. But more especially, to give his life for us. To die, to pay for our sin. Thank you, Lord, that we could experience your presence. And Lord, we pray for your presence in our midst this hour. Enable us to glorify you, to bring praise and honor to you and to Jesus, your Son, and to you alone. And it's in his name we pray, praying now that prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we state our faith through the Apostles' Creed. It's 716 in your hymnal, and it should be displayed to my left on the wall.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, and it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Our call to confession from Matthew 11:28 states, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I invite you to read along with me the people confessing. Eternal God, in whom we live, move, and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in your refuge and strength through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. And Jesus gives us that assurance by saying, "Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." God abounds in love and mercy and welcomes our return. For in Christ, God came to us that we might have abundant life.
Turn your hymns now, if you will, please, to hymn 92, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling."
Joy of heaven to earth come down, victim of thine humble dwelling, of thy faithful mercy's crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us find thee inherit, let us find them
living, Alpha and Omega be. In nothing has its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly, we turn and never, nevermore thy temples need. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Is in thy new creation, pure and spotless, let us see. Let us see great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Now I think we're going to have some special music by Miss Julia. Have to wait till Sam gets upstairs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dewey. Well, it is time for children. Time, I invite all the children to come down.
Thank you.
Kelly's usually the spokesman, y'all know that. So thank you anyway, Kim.
I'm not Kelly. Because these ladies are going to go to the children all over the world, what do you think?
Well,
I
get to. Go with Miss Susan if you like.
Our offertory sentence today is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. I invite the ushers to come forth to for the presentations of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Turn your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 545. We are learning. Our learning hymn for today. And I'm pretty sure the blankets are going to Guatemala.
That's up.
And we had a mission trip there back in April. Four of us from the church went there, but not specifically where the blankets are going, but certainly needed all the help we can in those countries. So appreciate everyone that donated their time or bought one of the blankets. Play that 3/4, please, Mike.
Lesson today is taken from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, and 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. Read along in your Bible or in the bulletin, or just listen. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble of birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Brother Larry?
Today was, I think, a fifth Sunday, which we will not have this year, in June. On the 30th of June, we moved into this building. You remember that? How many of you were here 10 years ago when we moved into this building? A good portion. Good to see that you're still here, and good to see those who were not here who have come with us. Many have moved on to either greener pastures or to a heavenly home. And so today we begin our 10th year in this room, this sanctuary. You remember meeting next door, walking across the breezeway then, or the prayer garden, where it became a prayer garden, and here we have been. Does it seem like that long? And maybe to some it seems like forever, huh? My sermon today is, let me talk about a new song. That was a real new song that we sang. We're doing what God says. The psalmist in Psalm 33:3 says, sing a new song. And that was the 545th new song. Or maybe we knew some of them, and if we knew them real well, we skipped over them. But we've sung through the book up to number 545 since we started in this building or in this sanctuary, to learning every song in the book. We're trudging along, aren't we? Now, I feel that any song prior to this one that we can choose for a Sunday morning worship, and we'll know it well enough to sing it. And that one we sang to open with. Wasn't that a beautiful song? I checked with Carol, you know, did we know it? She says, we know it. Maybe different words, but the same tune. And we did. But I thought that's one of the ones that spoke to me, and it really speaks to this sermon. Let me confess, if confession is needed, that I'm depending on Max Lucado in his book, It's Not About Me, for much of this sermon. And with no apologies, because when I read the book, it was almost like being hit between the eyes. And to understand that it's really not about me. I knew that, but we forget. And I confess that in the sermon. Years ago, I dreamed of being a Pony Express rider. I guess I was about in the fifth grade, and I read about Pony Express riders, and I said, boy, when I get big, I can join that organization and gallop across the West and deliver the mail. Did any of you have those feelings? Well, the problem was, I was born 100 years too late. That organization only lasted 18 months, I understand. But the sturdy were hired, and I'm not sure how sturdy I was, but I would have been light enough in weight then to ride a fast horse and not burden him down too much. That's all changed. The ones who were hired had to be sturdy people. They had to know how to handle horses, and I don't think I ever learned that. But I tried. I like to get on the horse and ride till one day it bucked, and that scared me too much, so I guess I wasn't as tough as I thought I was. They had to be able to survive the heat. In Birmingham this week, we stayed in all but a short period of time. I think we went outside and sat outside a Subway to eat supper one night, or some of us did, and somebody said, it's 100 degrees here in Birmingham this week. You got 90-something here, right? Boy, we wished it would rain and cool us off. But a Pony Express rider had to be able to withstand the heat in the summertime. They had to be able to outrun robbers because people were out there to rob them. And they had to be able to survive a blizzard. You know, the mail. It was the mail. And didn't matter if the blizzard was there or not, they had to go. And then they were paid $125 a month, but that was pretty good pay in 1860. They carried with them a Colt revolver and a lightweight rifle. They wore a red shirt and blue trousers. They would ride for 8 hours, I understand, as fast as they could ride, and were supposed to cover 80 miles during that time. They ran 6 days a week to deliver a message. The messages were from home to the people who had moved west, and they were from the west back home. And it was very important, in some people's mind at least, to hear from their loved ones who had left home and gone west. They carried with them a precious message, and it was very important for those who had gone west to hear from home. That's very important when you're away. I learned when Carol's sister and her family moved to St. Joe, Missouri, that the Pony Express started in St. Joe, Missouri, and it went west from there, and that was their beginning point. But I said it only lasted 18 months, and I was born too young to, too early, too late to be a part of it. I'm sorry. But the Pony Express riders were not the only people that have had an important message to deliver and an urgency to deliver the message. Like the Pony Express riders, the Apostle Paul, that we read his words from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was entrusted with a message. His message was a message of Jesus. You just say Jesus, and you've got his message, at least in our life. Jesus, the message. It was a message of Jesus, and through him, salvation and eternal life. Eternal life with God in a place that we call heaven, that we've learned is heaven. And it's the message is that heaven is ours through our faith in Jesus Christ. And God sent Jesus, his Son, or in essence came himself in the person of Jesus to save us from the sin that separates us from God, forgive us of that sin, and make us clean and pure and able to enter into that heavenly realm. That was Paul's message. Jesus, the cross on which Jesus died, Christ and him crucified, through which we obtain our salvation. Paul wrote to the Roman church. We have read already from the Corinthian letter, or the letters of the Corinthian church, but he also wrote to the Roman church. And he wrote and told them that he had a duty to all people, or he had a message to deliver. It was a divine message. It was the gospel message, and gospel is just another word for the good news. It was a good news message. It was the good news that Jesus has come to earth to save us for heaven, to get us ready for heaven. And the Apostle Paul did, he wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because this gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, nothing to be ashamed of, because
It's the power of God. You hear the message, you believe them in the one, in the character of the message, Jesus, and believing in Him, we are saved. Believing in Jesus, we are saved. Because this message carries with it the power of God to save us. Make us ready for heaven. See, our sin is what keeps us out. Forgiven, justified, saved, we are ready for heaven. And Paul was as determined, or maybe more so, to deliver the message that God had entrusted to him. He was determined, more so than the Pony Express riders. He went through hell on earth. Or a type of hell on earth. He went through high water. Is that too off color to say in church? But he did. He went through torment, beating of his body by those who didn't want him to get the message around. And he went through high water to get the message to every place that he could get it to. And he kept trying to get it to other places, but he was arrested and put in jail, and we think he might have been beheaded. We don't know really what happened to him, or I don't. But he was so determined, he would let nothing stop him from delivering this message of Jesus. How people remembered Jesus, or how people understood Jesus, was primary in Paul's mind and his teaching. He wrote that in his letters. You read his letters, you see that he was pointing to Jesus. He didn't care how people saw him. Somebody wrote a description of Paul's life, and they passed it around and said, "Would your church hire a man like this?" And he wrote about been in jail, been arrested, guilty of helping with a murder, blah, blah, blah. And people read that description of this man and they say, "We wouldn't want him as our pastor." Paul didn't care what people thought about him. He wanted to get the message of Jesus. Salvation through Jesus, saving people from themselves and from Satan and from an eternity in the fiery pit that we call hell. That's what it's described as in the Bible. Is that symbolic? Is it really a fiery pit? I don't know. Somebody described it as a bowl of cold oatmeal that we were suspended in. Wet cold oatmeal. That'd be hell, wouldn't it? Trying to swim in that or trying to survive in it. Just think of it. I let my oatmeal get a little cold the other day and it was lumpy, and wow, I got to thinking, I wouldn't want to be suspended in a giant bowl of oatmeal like this. Wow, what a fun time, huh? Is it a burning fire? Well, that oatmeal started out hot. It cooled off after a while and became lumpy. But, you know, I don't know. Anything away from God, anything separated from God, that's torment, isn't it? If God is the giver, and I believe that He is, of every good thing, He created this earth. If we didn't have air, if God give us the air that we breathe. I believe He does. Not to have that. That's hell, isn't it? That's separated from God, isn't it? The Bible describes it as kind of a torment where the worm never dies. Some say, "Oh, that was just the worst thing they could think of to describe it." I don't know. Not sure what was in their mind. But separated from God. God wants us to be in fellowship with Him, and sin separates us from God. He has a purer eyes than even to behold sin, but He still loves the sinner. He don't love him for what he does, or what she does, but He still loves her. So Paul was determined to deliver this message of Jesus. Salvation through Jesus. And he didn't care how people remembered him, or if they chose to remember him in a bad light, be that way. That was okay. His message was about the Christ, the one who could save us from our sin, the one he had met on the road to Damascus and changed his life. Friends, that's our purpose as a church. That's our purpose as a church. That's my purpose. That's your purpose as a Christian.
That's what I heard happened at Bible school this week in this place. I got back late Thursday night, came to the office Friday morning, heard the kids singing. Didn't even come in because I had to get some things ready for the bulletin. A little outline or sermon notes, it's available there if you want to follow along. You may be following. But I heard the children singing. And every song was about Jesus. And the kids were emphasizing when they got to Jesus. So these girls, these ladies, and those helpers with them, they promoted Jesus. They lifted up Jesus this week. They lifted up Jesus. And that was the purpose of Bible school. That's the purpose of the church. That's my purpose. But folks, it's so difficult to stay focused on Jesus. Right? Do you find trouble focusing on Jesus day after day after day? We get in our own way sometimes. I get in my own way. I get in Jesus' way. Sometimes we get in the way of the message. Matthew 6, 1 through 6, is that the verses that we have before you? They tell us about some people who wanted to show off themselves. And I'm so inclined to show off myself. I've often said I married a woman who would be quiet and stand behind me and allow me to get out front. She didn't want to be out front too much. Well, she should have pulled me back more. If Carol's got a fault in that relationship, in that situation, she didn't pull me back enough. Every once in a while, she will say, now listen here. We get in the way of the message, folks. And Jesus warned against this when he talked about praying in private or praying out on the street corners, etc., etc. Licato, and I've confessed to borrowing from today, he shared a story about an art museum guide who forgot what his job was. This young man, and it might have been Licato himself, the story sounds like it, he said he was hired, this young man was hired to lead people to paintings in an art museum. And he was supposed to answer the people's questions, and then he was supposed to step out of the way. At first, he was fine at that job. He did a wonderful job. He would say, "This is a Monet," and then he would step aside and answer any questions that the people had. And when they were ready, he would move to the next masterpiece, and he'd say, "Now, this is a work of Rembrandt," and he would step aside, and they would lean in, and he stood to the side, and they stared, and they were filled up with the masterpiece painting. He did a great job, and he took so much pride in his job. He may have taken too much pride in his job. He soon began to think about the possibility. He began to think about the possibility that these people were coming to this art museum to see him. Well, they didn't know who he was, but he began to think that they came to see him rather than to see the masterpieces. So, rather than step away from the painting when he introduced it, he would linger nearby. The people admired a work, and he would say something like, "Glad you like it." Or he would say, "Thank you." And the viewers would ignore his comments, but they could not ignore his action. First, he got to the point of reaching up and putting his arm up over the painting to put it in a frame it with his arm to kind of point more to them, point it out. Well, then soon he began to stand with a portion of his body in front of the painting. And then he got to the point, he got real proud, he got to the point he just stood in front of the painting. He'd lead him to the painting and just stand in front of it. The boss finally heard about it and told him, "Son, the job is not about you." But that's the way we are, is it not? Even in the church, we learn, or we come to think sometimes that the job is about us. But the boss said, "Son, the job is not about you. Don't obscure the masterpiece." But how many times? How many times have I had to be reminded, "Larry, the job is not about you. The job is about Jesus." How many times has the church had to be reminded? And I'm not the only one guilty in this. How many times has the church had to be reminded
that the job is not about us. The church is not about us. The church is about Jesus. Bible school is about Jesus. These songs are about Jesus. People say, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, what did you give? You know, I don't have much patience with people who say that they don't get anything out of it. Put something into it. And it's not about us. It's for our salvation, but even that salvation that we try to share, that is to bring glory to God. To show God's mercy, to show God's power to forgive, to show all about God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, we preach message to lead people to Jesus, that they might be saved. But we're saved in order to give glory to God. And I was getting pretty old before I began to understand it's not about the people. It's not about the people. The big argument in the church right now, one big argument in the church, universal. We haven't got to that point yet. It's this little local church. But what kind of music? I don't like this music. I like that music. What music brings the most glory to God? The church is about Jesus. He came to save us. But even our salvation, us being saved, is for His glory. What about you? Do you realize the church is about Jesus? It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. John the Baptist knew his place. His testimony was, John chapter 3, He, Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. What they think of us is not important. What they think of Jesus is what matters. And what God thinks of us, He needs to know that we're honoring Jesus. God does not want Larry Guin, or He does not want any of you to get in His way. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, said that God will not share His glory. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the third chapter of this letter that we read, the one who plants is not important, nor is the one who waters. There was in this church, there was a little grumbling going on, and who was the best preacher they ever had? And who did I get saved under? Or who did I become, who baptized me? Or I'm a disciple of thus and so. And Paul wrote them and said, folks, get it straight. You got it all confused. I did the planting. He was there first. Apollos came by and did the watering. But it's God who gives the increase. Only God makes things grow. And only God is important. If we ever get to thinking that we're very important, and preachers do, we can need to remember what kind of agents God used to get His message across. One time He used a donkey. Now we're nice and in church, so we call Him a donkey, don't we? But what do we call Him when we're down at the corner, a hangout? Not just a donkey, is He? Even the King James Version of the Bible uses a little cruder word, but we don't say that word in church. So God used a donkey. Spoke to Balaam. If you want to find where, it was Numbers chapter 22. One time He used a staff, a stick, Aaron's rod, if you will, and turned it into a snake. A snake that came from a rod, or a rod that turned into a snake. He used that in Exodus chapter 7. And then another time in Samuel, 1 Samuel, He used an oxen. Or is one ox an ox? You ox or you oxen? And then another time in Jonah's prophecy, or the story of Jonah, what did He use? A large fish to get His message over. So when I think that I'm so important, I'm reminded, well, you know, there's a story that goes around. We used to say about certain churches that the elders in the church prayed, Lord, You keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. But Sometimes the people are good about keeping preachers humble, and we need it. It's not, don't beat us in the ground, you know. But when the Bible humbles us. We think we're the important ones. We think we're, well, we're a donkey, or we're a rod turned into a snake, and we're an ox, and a big old ox, or a large fish. McConnell puts it, God doesn't need you and me to do His work. But He chose us. We are expedient messengers. We are ambassadors for Him by His kindness, not because we're so clever. I keep forgetting that, folks. A friend said recently of me, a guy that's known me a long time, and myself, we were talking, and we were trying to talk about some of my past. Now, why would we talk about some of my past? Preachers just do that. This was a young, new preacher coming by. And something was said about something I had done a long time ago, and they said, You did that? And my friend that had known me a long time, he says, Larry has mellowed over the years. A lot. Now, y'all would not have wanted to know me before I mellowed, would you? Okay. Larry has mellowed, and my friend that's known me a long time emphasized a lot. I'm learning. My friends, I'm such a slow learner. I confess that. But it's not about me. I keep being reminded it's not about me, and I feel it was necessary for me to say it's not about you either. It's about Jesus. And it angers Jesus when we think it's about us. Matthew 6, the Message version of verse 2. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike, just like it was a stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone is watching. Playing the crowd. They get the applause, Jesus says, but that's all they get. The only reward is here on earth. Pony Express riders, they did not take credit for the kind letters that went back and forth. The gallery guides, or the museum, art museum guides, they don't deserve the applause for great art. All they are is one to say, here it is. And we, who are entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we dare not seek applause. We should deflect applause. Our message is not about us. Our message is about Jesus. Have you gotten the message? It's all about Jesus. Have you gotten the message that Jesus died for you? Died for you. To pay the penalty that you deserve for your sin. I've got that message. Jesus died to pay the message for my sin. The invitation this morning is to trust Him, to believe. Believe in Jesus and what He did for you on Calvary. Hanging on the cross, gave up His life that we might have life eternal. Trust Him and be saved. Richie Karch is a Christian. He's going to unite with this church this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a believer in Jesus, you're invited to put your trust in Him. He's trustworthy. Put your trust in Him this morning and be saved. If that is what you do this morning, we invite you to come to the altar and share that publicly. Richie is going to come and unite with the church as a believer. Going to maybe give a little testimony. If you desire to unite with the church as you come to believe or being a believer, that invitation is extended, offered this morning. Or if you feel that you need to rededicate your life to the Jesus who has saved you, that invitation is extended also. Let's stand together and sing. It's 105. We're going to sing only the chorus, and we're going to sing it twice. Richie is going to come. Maybe you want to come and join him here. Let's stand and let's sing.
You Lord God, we thank you. Thank you that we can be a part. Thank you for the witness of the girls. Thank you for the witness of Mount Pleasant Church. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of this step in Richard's heart. Bless you. This new venture. We become a part of this congregation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. Elizabeth and Susan have known Richie through the camping program for a long time. And would you come and just stand with us this morning? We're going to ask Richie the questions. We're going to go over them all, kind of a reaffirmation of his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. He became saved as a real young man and united with the church, the Mount Pleasant Church. Things happened in his family, and he eventually went down to the Methodist Church, and because they had a great youth group. And senior in high school, you just graduated, right? Going to Bethel College, going to sing with Renaissance next year. And you who were here back in May, the 20th, I guess, knows about Renaissance, and the rest of you hear about them later. And we're pleased to have him with us. But to say all of that, you have repented of your sins and believe Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the Lord of your life. The Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. You believe it's God's Word to us, inspired by Him, and should be followed to believe and to live by. A member of this church, though you're going off to college, when you're available, do you promise to be a faithful member of this church by participating in the various ministries of the church and to love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Temptation. College days. You don't know nothing yet. You know that already. Okay. I'm sorry. Even a Christian college. Will you strive to overcome the temptations and the weaknesses and grow in knowledge and grace and practice for love in all relationships and be strengthened by your participation in the community of faith that we call the church? You won't have much for the next 4 years, but you will have some income somewhere down the road. You promise to be a good steward. Well, you have a life, and you have some talents, and you have some time already. But there'll be some money finally will come. And you promise to be good stewards of all of life that God has entrusted you with, giving of these gifts to the church. And we pat you on the back for willing to share your talent in music with Renaissance. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you. And we thank you. And we seek your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless us all. May he cause his face to shine upon us all. May he be gracious unto us all and lift up his countenance upon us all. In his name. Amen. We invite the active elders first, and then the rest of you come and offer the right hand of Christian fellowship to Richie Karch. You are dismissed.